Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Hills getting bigger, the gates open wide, the road gets broader every hour, and your easy street living just let things slide. You can't skip down the lane and just pick the wildflower. There is a crossing your way.
You know, brothers and sisters, there's many times that we've entered into battles in our walk with God. And there's many times we find ourselves in battles when we're not making any effort to walk with God. We have to understand that there's two powers in the world, in this world. We've got to understand that there's two powers. You know, I spoke with a man one time. He thought he was pretty macho, pretty bad, you know, the old worldly expression. Thought he was tough, we might say, and I looked at him as such a wimp. The man may have had the power. I got a brother that's about 6'7", weighs about 350 pounds, bench press over 500 pounds. Big man. I'm sure I walked up to him and I said, "You ain't nothing but a sissy. He'd probably want to rip my head off." Being his own brother, doesn't matter. Being a Hell's Angel. But see, they live in another world, another mind. But I'd have to look him in the eye and say, "You ain't nothing but a sissy." That's what I'd have to tell him. You know why I'd have to tell him that? Because he's letting a demon spirit run his life and rule him. You want to be a man is when you can gird up your loins like a man, like the Bible says, and you can take authority over the adversary, the devil. When you can take authority over the serpent and fight him, because he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't like you. He never will like you. He's no respecter of person. And he will absolutely take your life. And when you get all done looking at it, he'll have taken and ruined everything. I'll tell you, worldly people have got to be the most ignorant people in the world. Ignorant doesn't even sound like a strong enough word. You know why I can talk like this? Because I was one of them. You know, we go out and we party all night and stuff and get drunk and fight with one another. And we would take dope until our body was reeking and aching. And we'd find ourselves the next day and we'd pull ourselves out of bed, a head splitting and aching, body don't feel good. Just like the young man I talked to last night, he said it felt like his brain was melting in his head from chemicals and all the ignorance of foolishness and things that they do. You know, and then we say, "Oh yeah, we had a good time last night." Boy, that was a good time. You know, he has a good time laying over the toilet, puking your guts out. I watched my brother, man, and just wringing wet and shaking unmercifully in his bed as his muscles and everything locking up and clenching up. And his stomach knotted up and he curled over and puking his guts out and stuff because he didn't have a fix of heroin. And said, "Man, it was a good time. It's a good time." I'll tell you, Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's all he's going to do. And we got to wake up somewhere along life's path and realize what he came to do. We're going to have to realize that Satan doesn't like you, and Satan is going to do everything to make you feel good in the flesh, but it's a temporal feeling. It's temporal. He's going to make you feel good. He's going to make this aching and these cravings, he's going to make them go away when we satisfy them with the things of this world, if it's drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be. He's going to take and simply satisfy those things, and it's temporal. But as we started out reading right here in the scriptures, he said, come drink of this that you don't have money for. Come eat of this that your money can't buy. Amen. Then you have something that's everlasting, something that's eternal. Something that you never ever have to thirst ever again for, because it satisfieth all the way down. Amen. You know, I could speak very clear and very plain because I know the devices of the devil. I know the strongholds of the devil. I know where he's going to move in at. I know where he's at, and I know his ways. I've learned to fight him. I fought him all my born-again life. You know, I wished it was magical. I wish that you could come into this church and say, man, I'm sick and tired of my old way. I'm sick and tired of the things. And, you know, I'm sick and tired of the devil taking things away from me. You know, and I want to make a change. I wish it was simple enough that I could say, come up here and let me pray for you. Come up here. We're just going to go ahead and just pray for you, and everything's going to be all right. I'd be a liar, and the Bible said that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. What, you don't believe in the power of prayer, preacher? Oh, amen. I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe through the power of prayer that we could impart the gift of the Holy Ghost, amen, and that you could receive the power of God, and the power of God girds you up and makes you strong, amen, and it makes you fight after the adversary that came to kill you and destroy you. It makes you able to fight against the ways of the devil, and you'll start learning the wisdom of God and understanding his devices. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God clears slates. I believe that God sets free. I believe that he forgives and pardons and washes in his blood. I believe those things. But you know, many times we look for an avenue, we look for an escape, and we look for an easy way out. But there's a way, and the word of God says that we reap what we sow. That's God's way. And God is going to stand in his word, amen, and defend his word. And when we sow, we reap. There's no magical place to come to that we get out of the reaping. Many times when it comes time to reap, we want somebody else to help us. It's wonderful to enter into a brotherhood that'll help us and hold us up and gird us up and love us and do the things to help us that we can go through. But there's a thing that we have to do as a man, and there's a price to pay. And we got to gird up our loins and be ready to pay that price. Amen. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. When you think that you can come to a place that he's going to back off and let off, no, you come over here to this camp, then he's really going to mean business with you, because he don't want you here. You know why he don't want you here? Because you'll become his adversary. You'll become his enemy. You'll be one to kick in the gates of hell down. You're going to be one to understand the devices. It don't matter how far you've been in the world and how far down, you could be raised up and to be a mighty soldier for God, and you'd be one that would understand his devices even that much more. The farther you've been, Paul made a statement one time understanding the depths of the devil and the depths of sin, knowing that he'd been partakers of the depths of those things, and he understood the wiles and the devices of the enemy. Amen. You know, we got to have to understand spirits, and we're going to have to start learning to understand that God is a spirit. We're going to have to start learning to understand that Satan is a spirit. You know, but let me go back to where I started speaking to this man and thought he was something and thought he was bad. And I told him, you're nothing but a wimp, and the devil's got you and leading you around. He said, there ain't nobody leading me around. He said, I do what I want to do. I go where I want to do. And I've got full control of this life. And that proved right there that he was nothing but the devil himself speaking back to me. Do you understand that when a man speaks, it's a spirit that's speaking forth from him? The Bible teaches us very clear that you take the spirit away from the body, then the body's dead. So if you take the spirit of humanity, or that human spirit dwelling within your vessel, and you take it out of that body's dead. So then the Bible said, try the spirit and see if it would be of God. So then when we think here and it's speaking about thoughts, and our thoughts are not his, amen. And if the Bible teaches us to cast these thoughts down, then why would we be casting our own thoughts down? So there must be someone else's thoughts that we must be taking control of. I can remember casting one of God's thoughts down one time, because what he said, it frightened me. And I thought, well, surely this isn't God. And I cast that thought down, and he says, don't cast my thoughts down. down. And we got to learn to try the Spirit and discern the Spirit, discern the thoughts that are in our head and find out which one is God. You know, well, I understand what God's thoughts are. God's thoughts say, go and preach the Word. God says, go and give finances to the needy. God says to do that, and I say, yay and amen, but so does Satan. Satan speaks the very same way. He's very religious. He'll come to you and he'll say, oh, I love you. He'll come to you and say, Jesus is love. Jesus shed his blood and he died for you. Jesus gave his life for you that you could have life and life more abundantly. That's the way Satan talks. Don't you know that he's standing behind the pulpits all over America, preaching Jesus Christ all over America and bringing people into deception? And they're thinking that they're finding God, and they're thinking they're entering into a brotherhood or whatever, and they're entering into doctrines of devils. This is why we got to understand that he is a deceiver and he is the father of all lies. And we're going to have to start learning his devices and his ways. Amen. If you want to get into a boot camp and learn the ways of the devil, amen, and you want to be, like the Bible says, a good soldier for Christ Jesus, amen. The Bible said a good soldier keeps himself unspotted from the things of this world, and he comes out of the affairs of this world. Now, I'm going to say this if you're religious or not. I'm going to say this if you know God or don't know God. I'm going to say this if you've never even heard of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that there's two powers that are dwelling within the members of your flesh that are utilizing this body. Amen. And actually, there's three. But one of them is intermingling and giving itself one to the other. Amen. The Bible said, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. Amen. And the thing is some's testimony is that their father is the devil. Amen. And he is the father of all lies. Some of us could have the Spirit crying, Abba, Father, because we have received the infilling of the wonderful Spirit of Christ. Amen. And we have that Spirit, Abba, Father, crying forth. But the thing is you could say, well, I'm in neutral ground. I really don't know God. I really don't know the devil. I'm here to tell you to your face, you're a liar, and you don't know nothing because you're bound with demon spirits and you don't have enough understanding to realize that. And you say, well, I don't feel like I'm bound with demon spirits. Let me tell you something. The thing is if you know not God and you're not born of God and you have not his Spirit, the Bible said you're none of his, and there's only two places that you will find all of eternity. There's only two places. There's a place of eternal rest in Christ Jesus, and there is a place of the fiery indignation of God where the worm never dieth, amen, and that souls will be crying out through all of eternity in torment. And you say, what would you do, preacher? Try to scare us into the things of God? I thought if I could, I would, amen. I tell you, I believe in winning souls, and if I thought I could scare you into serving God, I would do it. But the thing is, all you got to do is look at your past. All you got to do is look at the trail that you're walking on. And if that don't bring fear, the Bible said the fear of God is wisdom, brothers and sisters, and brings forth the wisdom of God. Amen. But we're still talking about spirits and we're talking about powers. There's a light and there's a lesser light. There is a human spirit dwelling within your body, and that body is doing everything which in the commands of that human spirit. But there's these other spirits that having and looking for a place of entrance into that human spirit. And these spirits are looking for an entrance there. When you take the authority and the power in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus and cast the devil out of that man, that thing will go out into the dry places and seeking a place of inhabitation. And when it comes back to this individual, it says it found that place swept clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus, that it will enter back in. But the individual will be seven times worse. Amen. You see, we're talking about the authority of the name of Jesus, but there's an important thing that must do. We must fill that void. It must fill that tabernacle, that house. Amen. And let it be the temple of a living God. Amen. Because if it's not, then we find that Satan's going to find a place of abode there, and he's going to come in and enter in. Again, when we're speaking about casting down thoughts and every vain imagination that exalts itself before the knowledge of God, when we start learning that these spirits move in our midst by thought, he simply moves by thought. He's going to come in and he's going to project himself in your thoughts. You see, Satan is a spirit. You cannot see him. You cannot touch him until you enter into the spirit. Now, you can see him by the mind of the spirit, by the eyes of the spirit, the windows of the soul being the place. As I looked into the soul of an individual here today and saw death in their eyes. And the reason I saw that is because it's laying back in the mist, but I'm bringing life, amen, the spirit of life. The thing is, you say, surely, Brother Rob, you didn't see that. I see it often. I see it often because without Christ, there's death. Anything outside of Christ is death, and we have to understand that. You say, what does death mean, Brother Rob? Does it mean they put you in a box and bury you? No, the Bible said that there's some twice dead plucked up by the roots. The Bible teaches that there's some that are twice dead while they still yet live. So we have to understand what death is. Amen. We have to understand what life is. You can look in a casket and see a man, a woman laying in the casket, and they say, there's death. I said, oh, no, that's rest, that's sleep. That's individuals got life, amen. Life more abundant, eternal life, godly life. And they just happen to be absent from that body, and they've entered into life. You see, we got to learn to start understanding where life is at. Life isn't in the emotional and into the inspirations in the flesh. Life isn't speaking in tongues and dancing in the Spirit. Life isn't weeping before the Lord. That's not life, but there is a spirit of life that dwells within that human instrumentality of flesh that many times will bring the emotions and different things to manifestation, that life would be manifestation in that thing that withers away, being that outer garment of iniquity. So when we're speaking about these two powers and these two lights, let me start talking about my God, my salvation, and my Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, He can't do nothing for you. He is absolutely powerless. Jesus. Come on, preacher, you can't talk like that. He can't do nothing for you. He is going to do nothing for you. And you say, you can't talk like that. Let me say it again. Jesus is a gentleman. And He's not going to do anything for you and can't do anything for you because He's already done everything for you and done all He can. He's given you His life. He shed His blood for you. He's given you everything that pertains unto life. But there's one that came to kill, steal, and destroy, and trying to take what God has given unto you that He's already given you. He said He put your name down in the book of life before the world ever was. He predestined you before this world ever was. He said He saved you when you were yet still in your sin. And we look at Him, what are you going to do for me, God? And He's saying, I've done everything I can. Can you simply believe? You see, we command God and we control the things of God in the dispensation of grace. While we're in this dispensation time of grace, you understand? We could bind God in heaven that He can't do nothing for us. We bind Him. When we have unforgiveness in our heart, we bind forgiveness of God in heavenly places and He can't forgive us because we bound forgiveness up in heaven. You understand that the mercies of God is with you and you've got to accept it and believe it and ask Him for it. He saves you out of sin. You want to know God, but you want the world too. That's the religion of America in this day and hour. That's the Laodicea day message. That's that lukewarm lasciviousness. That's the vomit on the tables of God. That's the church that the Bible's speaking about that become the cage of every unclean bird. Oh, but we want you, Jesus. Oh, we want the provision. We want the eternal life. We want the peace and we want the blessing. Give me another smoke. Give me another snort. Give me another needle. Give me something. It don't come that way. You won't have God and won't know God. Our God is a righteous God, a loving God, a merciful God. He is a God of power. My God's not weak. He's all power. Well, what you said a minute ago, I'm saying it's if you allow Him that way. He can only do what you allow Him to do because He's a gentleman. And you're going to have to learn to start calling on Him and asking Him to help. And He's power. He'll give you the Holy Ghost, the power of God. And when He gives you the Holy Ghost, you know what you do? You turn and combat the enemy and got the clutches in your flesh. Satan can't do anything. He's weak. He has no strength. He has no power. He has no authority until you give it to Him. You're the one that gives it to Him. He can't kill. How many of them have seen Satan slice a throat? How many of them have seen Satan shake a baby until it's dead? How many of you have seen that happen? He can't do that until he inhabits a vessel. As soon as he inhabits a vessel and he comes through thought, and as soon as he enters into your thought life, then your thoughts. You say, I got control over my thoughts. You show me one man in this church that's got control over his thoughts, and I'm going to bring him up and I'm going to exalt him all the way into the heavenlies. I'm the pastor of this church, and I war in my mind. It's a continual warfare. And I got to learn to cast down every imagination and every thought. I've got to war against the members in my own flesh. I got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. I got to conquer lust. I got to conquer drunkenness. I got to conquer all those things. Amen. Because Satan come with those things, trying to kill me and trying to destroy me. And the thing is I can't get puffed up in my fleshly mind and think I'm something. I got to know that there is an adversary, the devil, that come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he wants to kill me and take my life. He wants to destroy me. He wants to put my family all asunder. He wants to bust this church up. You see, I got to understand that. I got to know that. You know, I'm telling you, this religious Jesus that America has built, these religious people of America, I tell you what, they don't know him. Let me tell you something. The Bible, let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, I came to put a father and a son asunder. He said, I brought a sword to put the mother and a daughter apart. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. Let me tell you about your Jesus. He's a God of blood and a God of war. You say, oh, I don't know about this, man. I think it's time to go. Amen. The doors are open. Hallelujah. But you better learn to know Jesus. Amen. You better learn His ways. His ways ain't your ways and His thoughts aren't your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. Let me tell you about this great Jesus. Amen. He took the curse of death upon Himself that you could have life. He took and shed every ounce of blood out of His vessel that you could have life and life more abundantly. Amen. But let me tell you, they're going to stand right before His face, the religious of America. And they're going to say, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. He said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. And that man will be bound by a demon spirit and put the clutches in his flesh and drag him into eternal damnation in hell. That's the Jesus Christ I'm serving. Amen. He's a God that's righteous and just, a God that is holy. Amen. And the only chance you got is by entering into Him and becoming one with Him. Otherwise, you're cut off and you're lost on your way to hell. There ain't no other way. You're not going to enter in by your goodness. You're not going to enter in by your soberness. You're not going to enter in by sobriety. You're not going to enter in by righteousness, because there's none righteous, not even one. And you're just going to have to realize that you're wretched and you're miserable and you're lost and you're no good and with no hope outside of Him. And when you get filled with the power of His Holy Ghost, amen, and filled with the Spirit of God, then you could stand before a living God, amen. And then you could stand before Him and you could rejoice in Him that He saved you and set you apart and cleansed you, amen, and made you one of His own, amen. And that you are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. You won't find it through religion. You won't find it through righteousness. You won't find it through holiness. But when you found Him, you'll find the above. You'll be full of the Spirit of righteousness and holiness and godliness. Amen. His Spirit is power and His Spirit is strength. When you no longer live and you've mortified your thoughts, your ideas, your ways, and you killed that man out, and you've asked Jesus Christ to fill the void and to come into your life, you'll walk with the authority and the power. Wake up and realize that Satan is playing for keeps. Wake up and realize what's going on in your life. You know, when I got born again and I came to the things of God and Satan is waging a war within the members of my own flesh, all I had to do was look back and say, wait a minute. Look what was happening. Get your eyes open. You know, the Bible talks about being blind and can't see. Get your eyes open and look what's happening in your midst. What does Satan have to offer you, man? Come on. What does he have to offer? You know, you say, man, but I've got a drive. I want money. I want prestige. I want finance. Speaking of my own brother, the one I was speaking about, as he made millions of dollars in the drug industry, he comes up to see me in a place in California, and he pours his heart out over about 2 o'clock in the morning. Man, you know, this is what I thought I wanted. Considering himself to be greater than a millionaire. Had 2 or 3 airplanes sitting at the airport, motorhomes to drive. $250,000 car sitting in his garage, plus 4 or 5 other sports cars and race cars. Had a different woman every night of the week if that's what he wanted. You know, whores don't care. You know, oh, such and such is over the night. Well, I'll come see you tomorrow night. You know, they're just a bunch of harlots and a bunch of things. He thought that's what he wanted, but he found out that it really wasn't. And he was seeking it for God. But you see, the deceiving devices of the devil came in and robbed him and killed and destroyed. Satan plays for keeps. He wants your soul. Are you ignorant enough to give it to him? Are you ignorant enough to keep walking in his ways? Are you ignorant enough to let him take and steal and destroy everything you've got? Say, I ain't got nothing. Why? Why? Why don't you have anything? Because you let Satan kill, steal, and destroy. You let him come and take everything away. I'm going to stand with this little family here and pray that maybe one day they can get their family back when they learn to fight the devil. But until they learn to fight the devil, there's no need for me to ask God to give them anything back. God is the one who suffered it. Evil can't come to the city lest I send it. Here's a mother and father without their children tonight because the devil stole them away. You see, let's wake up and find out what's happening. What's reality going on in my life? What is going on in my life? When am I going to wake up and say, wait a minute, I'm going to put a stop to this? But you know, I'm a good businessman. I got a good business. I pay my bills. I own a home and stuff. You're lost on your way to hell. That ain't salvation. You're trusting in your own might, your own strength, your own occupations, your own business. You ain't got God. You need to surrender all to God. If you want to have God, you don't have nothing. Accept Him. And then you labor in His ministry. You work for Him in His business. If you love your own family more than Him, you ain't worthy of Him according to His scriptures and His word. Our God's a jealous God. He's angry, brothers and sisters, with the wicked, and He's pursuing them off the face of the earth. How long will His mercies endure with you? How long? Well, I tell you what, we need to wake up, brothers and sisters. We need to wake up and find God. We need to find out that, you know, this ways and the things is. Satan, boy, he'll bring you pleasure for a short season. You're an alcoholic, he'll bring you pleasure while you're sucking on the bottle, and you'll feel good. It's like the cop I talked to the other day, and he called it liquid courage. Oh yeah, suck a little bit more down. You're bad. I'll get in anybody's face, I'm bad. They better get in the devil's face is what they better do. That's what they need to do. They best get in the devil's face. They better find out that there's a war going on within the members of their flesh, and Satan's trying to destroy them and kill them. Who are you going to yield your members to? Are you going to give your life to God? Or are you going to give it to Satan? It's one way or the other. And as the man tells me, he says, I got all control of myself. I do what I want, go where I want. And I said, that proves that you're of the devil. Didn't like it. Yeah, they want to fight sometimes. It's all right. Don't have to worry about me. Don't have to have no fear of me, but you better have fear of the one dwelling in my heart in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. As I was riding over to Romania, sharing the good news of the gospel with a man that's drunk, sits down by me and he looks me right in the eye and I said, you're nothing but a liar. And I just smiled at him. And he said, furthermore, you're ugly and I don't like you. Yeah, you're right. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And he kept on, cussed me, used filthy language and cussed me, this and that. And I just loved him. And he looked at me and said, there ain't no fighting you, is there? No, there ain't no fight in me in that natural way. I done been down them trails. Yeah, they don't do no good. I wish I could beat the devil out of a man. I'd do it. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. If I could take a man and snag him up by the back of his neck and slap the devil out of him, thus saith the Lord, that's what I'd do. But I know one thing, it don't come that way. We'd have a church full of folks with black eyes, brothers and sisters, if it come that way. I'd be down there in the martial arts stadium, son, or whatever you call that thing. Boy, and I'd be getting good because I'd be knocking the devil out of a lot of folks. Amen. Hallelujah. I wished it came that way. That'd be the easy way. I remember when I displeased God and I had my pastor grieved with me, and it's not profitable to grieve the man of God. And I told him, I said, I wished I could go out there and put my arms around that telephone pole and someone tie it to me and beat me. And he goes, that'd be the easy way out. That'd be the easy way out. Let me tell you, when you've crossed the living God and you find that His mercies are not there with you and that His grace is pulling away from you and you find yourself standing there to be beaten in a warfare and a travail with Satan, that's time to gird up your loins like a man. I'm telling you the truth, amen. I tell you, I wished it was that easy. I wished it was. That's the way Satan would like us to make it think. Bible says we need to be as bold as a lion, amen. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, we need to get our eyes opened up and wake up to what's happening. Who are we going to blame for the things going on in our lives? Who are we going to blame when we don't have finances and we don't have food? Who are we going to blame when our families have been taken away? You say, well, we're going to blame Satan because he came to kill, steal, and destroy. But why? Why are we going to blame him? It's because we made allowances for him. We opened up a door in our thoughts and in our mind for him to come and kill and steal and destroy. He can't do those things unless we allow him to do them. I made a statement a minute ago. I said, how many of you have seen him kill a child? Let me tell you, the newspapers and the news media is full of those kind of events. You see, when you find a woman that calls herself a Christian and says that she heard from God and takes her little children and drowns them in the bathtub, puts them in the back seat of the car and buckles them in and drives the car into the lake, you say she heard from God. She heard from God of this world. It's Satan. And that's why she done the things that she did. Who's speaking to your mind? Who's speaking to your thoughts? Who's controlling your life? You say, I am. You're deceived. You're deceived. You see, either you have one master or the other. Either you are a servant of God and you cry, Abba, Father, in your spirit, or you are a certain servant of Satan. It's one or the other. And you say, well, I'm not either one. Well, when you think you're not either one, I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord, you are a child of the devil and you're on your way to hell. Because you can only have one of two masters. Let me tell you, the thing that motivates your body, the thing that makes your tongue wag in its mouth, the thing that makes you do everything you do is motivated by a spirit. Because if the spirit wasn't dwelling in your body would be dead. So we find this human spirit pressed in the necessities of the natural man to do the things of the natural man. And that human spirit that's dwelling within you has got to find salvation. Amen. It's got to be married unto either Satan or it's got to be married either unto God. It's the only way. The Bible said Jesus is the husbandman. The Bible teaches that we were espoused unto Christ, amen. And Jesus being the husbandman, that we have to be married unto Him. And if we're not married unto Him, then we are not heirs with Him, amen. And the only way that you can have eternal life is by becoming an heir with Jesus Christ, amen. Where do I find that at? You're not going to find it in church, and you're not going to find it in some religious order or some religious way. You're going to find it by calling out upon the name of a living God and crying out to God and saying, I've made a mess of my life. I've tried my own ways. I've tried my own things, and it don't appear to be working. There's some kind of void right here within my heart. There's some kind of yearning and some kind of longing in me for God. There's something that I feel. I don't feel like it's all there. And when you fill that void with the Holy Ghost, the power of God, you'll start taking authority over thoughts. You'll start taking authority over the deeds which would be of the flesh. Amen. Whoever you yield your body to is who you are of. When you yield your members over to the satanic forces of this world, when you yield it to drugs and you yield it to alcohol and you yield it to harlotry and whoremongering around and the lust of the flesh, and you yield it over to the macho-ness of the flesh and think that you're something, it's all satanic. It's all of the devil, every bit of it. Thus saith the Lord, yea and amen. That's where it's at. Who's running your life? Who's making you do the things that you're doing? Who have you yielded over to? Wake up. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. Be religious. Go ahead and act like you're religious. Go ahead and talk about God. Think that you're somebody. But when I find the things that be of the flesh, then you're of the devil. Amen. I'm going to read a little more scripture to you. I hope I make you mad. That's what I'm trying to do. If I can get you mad enough, maybe we can get you glad. Amen. Hallelujah. Who are you talking to? I'm talking to whoever's got ears to hear. I'm going to turn you over to Galatians 5. Very well-known passage of scriptures right here within this church, because we're always finding out who we're fighting with and who we're warring with. Amen. I'm going to take time to read the whole chapter to you this morning. Is that all right? Hallelujah. You know, when you sit in a movie theater for 2 hours, don't think nothing of it. Watch a bunch of filth and immorality, a bunch of slop. We'll sit in a ball game and hear a bunch of devils running back and forth up and down a court or throwing a pig skin or whatever. And we'll sit there and hope and yell and holler and this and that. But boy, we're going to get in the house of God. Boy, we're going to give you about 15 minutes, preacher. Came to the wrong church. You say, you think too much, you think too highly. You think you're the only church around? No, but there's only one. His name's Jesus. I found him. Amen. I found out he ain't out there in them other places, because I was out there. Amen. All right, here we are. Galatians, the 5th chapter, says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. You ain't going to come in by law. You ain't going to come in by reading this Bible. You ain't going to come in by memorizing this Bible. I know it's speaking of circumcision, but he was speaking to the people that thought they found an entrance by the way of their labors and their works. And they believed that to be numbered with the circumcision, you had to be circumcised. And this was in the law. But the thing is we're not under that law. We've entered into a new law in Christ. But let me go on. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For this is why I say the things I do when I call the names of these churches. You're not justified by them. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He is the one that justifies you. He's the one that saves you. Don't look for it in a sect of people. Don't say, well, I know if I go over here, Granddad, you know, used to be Assembly of God. Granddad used to be a Pentecostal Church of God. Granddad used to be a... And I know I can find salvation there. The only place you'll find it is in Christ. Amen. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. None otherwise minded. Remember, it comes to thoughts. It's the mind, brothers and sisters. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh. Do you understand that? You know, sometimes we think, oh, Jesus is merciful. Jesus is good. Talking about the grace of God. Oh, he's a long-suffering God, a loving God. It said, don't use that to the occasion of your flesh. Don't say, oh, God's love, give me another snort. God's love, give me another drink. God's love, let me, God's love. You see, don't take it to the occasion of the flesh. He gives us the power, the authority of the Holy Ghost to overcome the things of the flesh. You say, what's the flesh? We're getting there. We're going to read about it. But by love serve one another, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, if you'd start loving your neighbor as much as you love your own self, you'd probably start really doing some good and maybe seeing God. You know, people, they cherish themselves so much. They love everything about themselves. They'll stand in front of the mirror for hours, fixing themselves up and doing things. You know, taking that old flesh for a drive when it wants to go for a drive. Laying it down to rest when it wants to rest. Feeding it every time it gets hungry. Have you ever pressed against that man? That old flesh man? But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Listen now. Let's think about this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you not fulfill the lust of the flesh? By walking in the Spirit. You're not going to do that in your worldly ways. Either you're in the flesh or you're in the Spirit. The Bible said these two are contrary, one of another. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Here's our little checkup. It's real simple. Very simple. It's nothing complicated here. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not, listen, they shall not, God's word is true, let every man be a liar, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What's it all about? It's about entering into the kingdom of God, into eternal life. Everything we do on this earth, the Bible says that this life is like a weaver's shuttle. It's here in a moment, it's gone. It's like a vapor and a mist. It's here just for a moment. Live to be 100 years old, it's nothing when we think of eternity and living forever. I tell you what, man, there's such a perverted thought about what heaven is. I passed a motorhome coming home yesterday from Virginia. past the motorhome, and they had a big picture on the back talking about angels looking over us. They had some little dumb-looking angel in a diaper, man, naked with little wings on its back flying around. If I want something watching over me from heaven, I don't want some stripped-off baby with little wings. But I tell you what, when I call upon God for help and call upon Him for strength, I'm glad He doesn't send some little baby in old diaper with a little angel wings on his back and comes down and say, here's your help. I need one of them big angels. Hallelujah. One of them big angels like Brother Pike said he saw when the room and the ceiling and everything just disappeared. And he said his head went way on up there above the ceiling and way up in the clouds. And he saw that big angel. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the kind I need standing behind me. Hallelujah. I thank God he didn't send some little baby in a diaper. You know, what's heaven like, Brother Rob? Oh, man, we're all going to walk on streets of gold. Oh, I'm telling you, man, it's awesome. Little naked babies flying around with violins and they're playing violins. If that's what heaven is, man, let's just get back out in the world and get drunk and live it up, man, and be a bunch of whoremongering dogs chewing on each other and devouring each other and just go to hell and burn forever. You say, are you mocking God? No, I'm mocking your concept of what you think heaven's all about. Amen. Let me tell you something. The unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things which are appearing. Amen. You find that you find joy in this world out here in the beauty of this creation. You talk about when you go out and look out across the beautiful lakes or see the trees and things. That's nothing compared to what God has in store. And when you like the jewelry and the diamonds and the gold, He's trying to tell you when He's giving you some concept of thought. What are those things? They mean nothing to me. The doorknobs are made out of big diamonds and the gates of pearl is one pearl. Says. It's not a whole bunch of pearls put together. It's one pearl. He's trying to get your concept out of the things that you sell your soul for the gold and the vain jinglings of this world. He's trying to get you out of that concept when you're going to walk on those things. That's what He's trying to tell you and teach you. You know, we ain't going to be fluttering around some kind of a bliss. God, it's ignorance. Give me some more crack or some methamphetamine or some cocaine or something, man. I could get into greater bliss than what you are running around with your naked angels. God, I'm glad that's not God. Come on, let's get reality, brothers and sisters. My goodness. It says right here, it says, I have also told you in times past that they which do the things, such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Why would we want those things? Because when you have those things, it shows that you've conquered Satan. These are the things that show that you've conquered Satan. Because where's Satan at? He's in the members of your own flesh. He's laying within the members of your own body. You know, everybody wants to get into this spiritual deluge or whatever, and they say, oh, you know, Satan's out here and he's got his big long tail and his little pitchfork and his little horns. That ain't what Satan looks like. He's got a three-piece suit. He calls himself pastor. He calls himself evangelist, making twofold more the child of hell. Wake up! It ain't like what you think it is. I tell you, you know, they got God off somewhere on some distant planet. They got Satan off somewhere going to come and manifest. The Bible said there's many antichrists among you. The ministers of Satan, the Bible said, have transformed themselves into ministers of light to try to deceive the very elect if possible. Get out of your concept that the devil's somewhere else. He's laying in the flesh of your first birth. He's the one that's talking to your mind on a daily basis. He's the one that's dragging your soul into hell. Quit looking for Him out there somewhere. Go look in the mirror and say, there He is. Some of you can't get a hold of that. You can't get a hold of that. Who are you talking to? I'm talking to myself. You understand there's a continual warfare. Who's going to deliver me of this body of death? We always want to make Satan somewhere else. We want to make God somewhere else. The whole church world's preaching a message. Oh, God's coming someday. Oh, that great day of God. Oh, I just can't wait. I'm longing and yearning and waiting for God to come. You poor heathen. He's already came. Amen. He's dwelling in my heart. He's dwelling in my life. It's no longer the minister speaking, but it's God speaking through him. He reached out to you this day and this hour, and he's trying to talk to you and wake you up and shake you a little bit. Amen. Because the God of this world's got a hold of your soul, and he's trying to destroy and he's trying to kill. He's trying to devour. Just look at the fruit. You know, I was religious when I came to Little Bethlehem. Been out preaching the gospel. seeing people come to God, seeing miracles of God. You know why? Because God loved me. But he drove me to the truth. And when I got there, I started having to find out where this devil was at. Guess where he was at? He came with me from California. The Bible said there's no height, no depth, there's no place that you could hide from God. There ain't no place you can hide from the devil. Paul going through some travails and battles, I said, you ain't going to get away from him coming to High Point. You might get some help there to deal with it. John here, man, been the old devil's taken and destroyed his life, taken his family and all kinds of things. There ain't nothing here in High Point for him except help. But you know, the same things he dealt with in Georgia, the same things he dealt with in South Carolina, the same things he dealt with in prison are right here still today trying to destroy and to kill him. You're going to have to learn you can't run from the devil. You better turn and face him face on. And you better wage war with him. And you better get your loins girded up like a man and quit acting like some kind of wimp, letting the devil beat you and kill you and destroy you. When you don't have your own children, brother, it's because Satan took them away from you and you allowed him to do it. I speak plain. I love you. I'll help you do that. I'll help you get them back and pray and help your dad. Get them where one day you can get those things back. But you got to wage war with the devil that took them away from you. It's sad to think that we stand and let the devil till and destroy and take things away that we love. What could be more precious to a mother than her own children? And let Satan come take them and he's still after her soul. Let's wake up. What's next? What's next in your life? I find the courts in America are full of divorce and people separated and divorcing because the devil came to destroy. Marriage is a unity from God, but the devil's coming to destroy it, trying to destroy the family, trying to get the churches to bring the queers and the faggots in their churches and ordain them into the ministry. You see, it's because Satan's alive and he's well. And he's seeking everyone and everything that he can devour. And when the churches ain't got enough God in them and enough, and the preachers ain't man enough to stand up and face the enemy, the devil. And that's why these things are coming in. They say, oh, you're too hard. You're too harsh. No, what's hard and harsh is these lying preachers that are allowing these serpents and these demons and these devils. And they're telling you that you're all right with God and telling you that God loves you, this, that. And they're just lying to you because he says he hated Esau and he's angry with the wicked and pursuing him off the face of the earth. God don't love you. He hates you. That's what the Bible says. He hates everything about you in your first birth in your flesh. Amen. He hated you so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for you. That's not what the Bible said. It said he loved the world so much. He loved you so much, that spirit dwelling there within, that he wanted to preserve that life. And he hated the image of iniquity in your flesh, that he gave his life, amen, that it could be smitten on the cross of Calvary, that you could have life and abundant and eternal life. People say, well, God doesn't hate you. Better get in your Bible and start reading, because that's what it says. You better start learning to understand God. He don't like your ways. He don't like your thoughts. He don't like anything about you. And the best thing to do is kill him out and mortify him out and let Jesus Christ live. Otherwise, you're going to lose everything you got. You know, sometimes, you know, people can show their animosity towards the preacher and get mad at him. All I'm here is a helper of your faith, trying to point out the things that's happening in your life. You know why I can see those things? Because I've been there. I've been bound by those things. You know why I understand those things? Because I've seen the Satan come and steal and take away from me. When the doctor come out and said that my little daughter had 20% chance to live and she was about to die, it's because of my ignorance and my foolishness, seeking after wealth and finances and going after the pleasures of this world. And I about lost my child. It woke me up. On the day of adversity, consider your ways. Why are these things happening in your midst? Because you sought after Satan instead of God. And he came to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's taken away everything from you. And he ain't going to be happy until your face is in a casket. Then where's your soul? Let's wake up. Don't think for a moment, Brother Jonathan, that I'm just talking to you here this morning. Brother, I love you. There's many people in here that's played with the devices and the things. Religious people that call themselves Christians. People that never had a cigarette. People that never had alcohol. People that never been in immorality and things of the world are bound up with demon spirits that I'm talking about this morning. And the most wretched ones are the ones that call themselves religious. Oh, yes, I'm a man of God. You know, man, I'm God's man. You know, I've studied my Bible and I read my Bible. He ain't nothing but a wretch. When a man's boasting of himself, the Bible said his testimony ain't true. There's only one good thing, and that's Jesus Christ. There ain't no good thing in the flesh. None whatsoever. I'm not boasting in some kind of education, some kind of Bible study, or some kind of reading. The only thing I can boast in is the mercy of a living God and the grace of a living God. Amen. That's the only thing I can boast in. Amen. And my God's not weak. My God is strong. My God is power. The Bible said some have a form of godliness and they deny the power thereof. Amen. Let's quit denying the power of God. Let's ask Him to fill us with the Holy Ghost and the power that we can overcome the wiles of the devil and the things of Satan. You know, we want to make the devil off some distant power somewhere and this and that. The Bible said that He is the God of this world. This is the world right here. Don't worry about this world. We say, oh, but we got to get right with God before we can go out here and save the world. And then we can make this world become the kingdom of our God and His Christ. That's not what He's talking about. Jesus is going to take care of that one out there with the natural Jew. You better get a hold of this kingdom right here because it's been the kingdom of Satan for too long. And you need to invite God into the midst and into the presence and declare Him King of kings and Lord of lords and mortify that old man out and let Jesus live. Amen. That's your only hope, amen. Pretty simple, isn't it? Amen. Are we tired of yielding our members over to the satanic influences? Are we tired of letting Satan destroy everything we have? Come on, let's get tired of it. Let Him restore what the cankerworm has eaten away. Let Him restore. Let God restore. God is a God of restoration and reconciliation. God came to this family right here and shed His blood and died that they could have life abundant and eternal. And they could start taking back what Satan's taken away. Need happiness in the household and the family. The God of this world come tried to destroy Brother Paul and his family. It was so close to putting it apart. When I had the vision of Melinda and she comes showing up at the end. And her house that she showed up in was like, it looked like little, like when you take a windshield of a car and hit it with a hammer and it busts into thousands of little pieces, and it was just all shattered to pieces, but it was all like still in the form of a house, just busted to pieces because Satan tried to destroy and to kill and to take away. Oh, but Paul was right there in little Bethlehem. It don't matter. He wasn't there. Oh, but he's been raised up in church and Christian, but he wasn't there. But he's heard great messages and sat under some of the greatest men of God ever was, but he wasn't there. He was in the world in his mind. He was in the world in his thoughts, taking thoughts and letting Satan take his mind and his thoughts. And he came to kill, steal, and destroy and was killing his life and destroying his family. Thank God for waking up. Oh, is it okay now? He's here at Christian temple. Is it okay now? No, there's a war, wet rage. Satan don't like him here because he'll get help and he'll get strength. But still the battle's his. Thank God that we have God and He gives us the armor of God. Thank God for the armor of God that we can take and put this armor on. But we got to be in a place that we can receive those things. The Bible said a good soldier for Christ keeps himself from being entangled in the affairs of this world. When you're out in the world in His domain, it's like a soldier going by himself into the enemy's territory. And when we go there, we need to gird up our loins like men and get ready to fight. You know, when you go into boot camp in the military, they keep a pretty tight watch on you, don't they? It's not like you go out here and you exercise all day and they teach you to shoot guns and this and that. And then you get home and you go off out to the bars and party. And you go off out and do that and come back the next day. No, they put you under some tight reins. And they keep you under tight reins and they put you down at a certain time. They get you up at a certain time and they start pounding a mind in you. They start putting the mind of a military man in you. And they start making you change the way that you think and demoralizing you and making you into a killer. You see, they've come to a revelation. This is what some of you need. You need to get into boot camp with God. And you need to get and separate yourself from the things of this world and get yourself girded up like a man. That you know how to fight the devil. Let's quit making him some fairy tale. You know, some people's God's just a fairy tale God. You know why it's a fairy tale to them? Because they never have got a hold of him. Let me tell you, when he fills you with the Holy Ghost and the power, he'll change you, amen. And there'll be something burning within your heart. And you'll know that God is real. He's just not some storybook or some fictitious thing. Or somebody that was 2,000 years ago and supposed to be coming. My God's alive today. He's here today. He's speaking to you today. He's drawing you by the Spirit today. He's going to take authority over the adversary that came to destroy you and kill you today. Today's your day. Today's the day of salvation. Today is your day. Quit looking for tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow's got to offer. Don't let Satan beat your brains out with your past. You need to look at it and say, you know what? I'm tired of my past. I'm tired of them things. Who could change it? God could change it. You have to let him. Hey, if God was just going to come jump down your throat, I remember the other day I said, I wished I could jam him down your throat. I would, man. I'd rip them jaws apart, man, and slam him down there so fast. Take this microphone and pack him in there a little bit if I thought I could do it that way. I'm glad that God's a gentleman. I wish it could come that way, but he's a gentleman God, and you have to love him. You have to desire him. You have to fall in love with him. Sometimes you look at Christianity in the world and say, I don't want nothing to do with that. That's good. Maybe you got your eyes opened up. I don't want nothing to do with what they call Christianity neither. I was walking into a restaurant up here in the north side of town talking about God with one, and this religious devil turned around in his three-piece suit, wants to tell me about Jesus, what he thinks Jesus is. That's the time that you wish that you could slap a devil out of somebody. You say, you talk pretty plain. Nah, you ain't heard nothing. Let me tell you how Jesus talked. He called them blind leaders of the blind. He called them slow bellies, hypocrites. Called them vipers, snakes, and serpents. That's the way Jesus talked to them. He didn't like the religious people neither. He went out and helped the drunkards and the harlots, and he went out and brought them into a place. But it was the religious people that crucified him and put him on the cross. It was the ones that were in the synagogues daily, offering up their prayers and their sacrifices, are the ones that killed him. And there's many people that's out there in the ways of the world because they're sick and tired of the religious people of America. And their religious ways, the most filthy institutions, I started to say at the beginning of the service, is the organized church. Because they should know better. But they've yielded themselves. The Bible said Satan climbing up into the upper lintels. Where's that at? It's in the churches of America. That's where he's at. Are you watching for him? Have you allowed him to climb up into the second heaven? Out of your flesh? Has he climbed up into the second heaven in your life of the soul? Is he there warring in your members and trying to take and control your body? The disputes for this body. Satan wants to use your body. He wants to use your life to satisfy his own lustful desires. Yeah, he wants to use your brother to lay your women. Yes, woman, he wants to use you to satisfy the lustful desires in the flesh. That you could be with men and you'll never find enough. Yes, he wants to use you that he could climb up into another heavenly realm in the bliss of drugs and dope and get all those things happening. He just wants to use your life up. He doesn't matter that it's destroying your body, destroying your heart, destroying your health. That don't matter to him because he came to kill you. Anyway, use it up for him and just let him take it and drain every bit of life out of you. And that when you're laying there on your deathbed and you're all used up like an old dish rag and there ain't nothing left there for you, that's when he's going to leave you and start looking for youth and strength when you ain't got nothing else to offer. And then you'll say, well, then I'll cry out to God. And God says his spirit doesn't always strive with man. Today's the day of salvation. Amen. Today his spirit's drawn and compelling you to come in. It may not be tomorrow. You say, well, as long as I got breath in my lungs, you don't know what breath is. You don't have no understanding, amen. You better repent before a living God and get your right life with God while there's still time and he's still drawn. Because you don't know what he'll do for you tomorrow. He might step on you like an ant. Smash you all to pieces. And he wouldn't even bat an eye. What kind of God are you serving? A just God. Let me ask you. You know, people got this funny thing, imagination about what God is. Now let's talk about this Saddam Hussein for a minute. Now we're coming down to just natural man's way of thinking. And you stand him and he's got 50 people lined up and he's got a revolver and he goes up and pow, blows a man's brains out. Walks up to the next one, pow, blows his brains out. Doesn't blink an eye. Walks up to the next one, pow, blows their brains out. They don't even blink an eye. Walks up to the next one, pow, blows their brains out. Don't even blink an eye. And then his gun zipped in, another guy standing there loading another revolver for him and hands him another revolver. Walks up to the next one, pow, next one, pow, next one, pow. And you watch that and 200,000 people gassed and killed. And then you've got him in your presence and you say, look at this vicious evil man. Which one of you is going to pull the cord and electrify him? Which one of you is going to pull the trigger and blow his brains out? I say, give me the gun. I'll take and blast him. He's a beast. He's an animal. all, blast him all over the place. He don't have no reason to live. Killing innocent babies. They walk into the hospital and they take the little infants out of the crib and they slam them down on the floor and do those things. Oh no, I wouldn't think nothing about taking his life and putting him into eternal hell. Well, that's what God thinks about you. He wouldn't think nothing of just smashing you like a bug. You know, because that's what you are in your first birth. You're wretched, you're filthy, you're immoral, you're ungodly. And he despises your image. He repented that he made man. He repented, but he let the woman be saved in childbearing, amen. And the only reason that he left you, that he could reproduce his image within you. Amen. And that's where the grace of God come in. That you could have the mercies of a living God. That he could reproduce Christ in your life. He ain't interested in saving you. The only thing that interests him is killing you. The Bible said, mortify. Kill that man out. You're going to have to come to an understanding that you've been crucified with Jesus Christ. And that you no longer live. And it's Christ that lives and dwells. Quit trying to save that man. Kill him. The Bible said you try to save him, you'll lose your life. But kill him out. And let Jesus live. Amen. Then you've become found life because he's the Prince of Life. Quit trying to bring salvation into your worldly ways. Quit trying to make your God come down and accept you and your business affairs and everything that you got. Get yourself caught away in heavenly places. And when you come among men, that you utilize the things that would be of this fleshly world to do something as unto the kingdom of God. I don't know if you could understand all that, but I hope and pray that you can, because that's life. There's no other life outside of Christ. And you keep seeking after life, but it's temporal life. Everything in your flesh is temporal. Everything. There's no good thing in the flesh. None. There's not one good, the Bible says. So recognize that and understand that. Who could sit and look at somebody else and say, well, look at you, you wretched thing. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be in a dark alley with a needle in my arm and out of my mind as sitting in a religious church lost on my way to hell. I would rather be laying in the gutter with the slop and the vomit running across me with a whiskey bottle out of my mind as being in a religious church. Let me tell you about the Church of Christ. When they opened up their pulpits here the other day, making allowances for same-sex marriages, I would rather have a whiskey bottle and be considered an alcoholic and a drunk as to be what's going to come to them when they stand before a living God for their filth and their foolishness. Come on, let's get real, brothers and sisters, and let's find out what God is and what reality is. Let's quit being religious and let's quit playing games. If I was in that church and they make a decision like that, I would run. I've had to run from many churches over the years because of their foolishness. Let's all stand together. Amen. I love you. Amen. Brother Jonathan Kirk, I love you. I want to help you. You tired of the devil taking your life? I'm going to help you. If you could stand, brother, I'll help you. Amen. If you could stand, I'll help you. You don't have to fight the fight alone. God loves you. He already gave his life. God's the conqueror. Amen. Sister Yvonne, I'll help you get them babies back if you want help. But you got to get desire to want that kind of help. Brother Paul, I'll help you, brother. I'll put that first love back in your wife's heart. Amen. Not me speaking, but God. And restore that the cankerworm has tried to destroy because of your lasciviousness and the foolishness. He can restore that love that you had for one another. And those hurts and all those things could be melted away because God loves you and died for you. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need to walk with God. Amen. Daniel, you need to find God and seek after him. Pull in the name of Jesus and start saying, you know what? There's more to life than what it appears and what it seems. Amen. I tell you, brothers and sisters, I love you. You come to the right place if you want to find God, because I'm telling you, there's people that's been out here in every kind of walk of life, every kind of religious way and religious order. Jonathan, you're the actual kind of man that God's looking for. You're somebody that God could take and fill you up with the Spirit of God, and you could go around and help pull some folk out of the clutches of satanic power. Exactly the kind of man that God's looking for, amen. The religious people of the world might look at Jonathan as some kind of a outcast. and some kind of thing, and they'll receive a businessman in. Got everything in order, got his own little house, got his own little business, driving his fancy car, and they say, oh, yeah, let's bring him up here to the front. That man will have more troubles finding God. They got everything worked out because the God of this world, Satan, has given them all the pleasures and the things of this world. They've got business. They got finances. The Bible said the people of the Laodicean Day Church are rich and they have no need of God. I would rather be a dope addict, a drunkard, a harlot, a whoremonger, laying in a gutter saying, I need God, as being some religious businessman that comes in and thinking, man, I'm God's chosen. God despises their image. It grieves God. Amen. Come on, brothers and sisters. Let's get control of our lives. Let's get control and know what's happening within the members of our own life. Let's start finding out who's speaking, who's talking, who's motivating us to do the things that we do. Let's get control of our lives. Let's sing a song or two. We won't keep you long. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all love the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. I don't mean to offend anybody or embarrass anybody. I just, you know what? When it comes to fighting the enemy, I ain't going to play with them. I just don't do that. You know, come on, let's wake up and realize what's going on and let's see what's going on. Let's do something about it. You know, we can't close our eyes to what's reality. We can't close our eyes. We can't blame nobody else. When you're standing back and all these things are happening in your midst, you're trying to blame somebody else. The only one that you can blame is yourself.
Amen.
And that you've gave Satan a stronghold in your life. You're not going to stand. The Bible said you're inexcusable. We're not going to be making no excuses before God. Well, the preacher didn't preach to me. Well, I just didn't this and I just didn't that. Well, it's not fair. Who said that Satan plays fair? You see a guy come back from Iraq and say, well, it's just not fair. The guy put a bomb on himself and blowed my buddy up. Yeah, there's a lot of things in war that ain't fair. A lot of things ain't fair. Satan ain't fair. You know, when you get down on the ground and you don't feel like you could have enough strength to take another breath, no, he's not fair. He'll put his hand over your mouth. He'll stomp you into the ground. And he ain't going to be satisfied, and he takes every bit of strength and every bit of life and everything that you've got. He ain't satisfied until he finds your soul in hell. He's not satisfied. That's what he came to do, is kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. Let's put a stop to it. It's going to take you. With the help of God. Oh, but I want God to do some supernatural thing. He's already done it for you. He already died for you. He already shed his blood. He said it's expedient. I go back to the Father. I can send back the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. He's already sent back the Holy Ghost to you. The power of salvation. Amen. The power to conform to his image. Amen. So you're inexcusable. Just accept it. Say, Jesus, here I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. God, fill me with your Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Lord, I've come to the end. I need help. I found that my ways ain't working. God, I need your ways. Amen. If that's your decision this morning, I'll stand with you and help you, and I'll give you everything I got. God knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of your heart. You won't play no games with God. I'll promise you that. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you thankful, amen, that we have a living God? Aren't you thankful that your God's alive, that he ain't just some religious idol somewhere that we got hanging on some cross somewhere, stripped off naked like some kind of beast and worshiping him? My God is the God of resurrection. Amen. My God is the God of power, of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that your desire to have that closer walk with him? I'll tell you, if you're walking with him, amen, he'll have his arm around you and you'll be in the light. The Bible said light eradicates darkness. Amen. And that's all we need, is a closer walk with him. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Reno Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.